Thank you so much. Very practical way to think about, as we talk about loving God and loving others and taking the love of Christ to others. I mean, what a great way to be involved in that. So, okay, I just lost your first name. Melissa? Yes, okay, so please speak to Melissa if you would like to learn more about that. And thanks for being with us tonight. Very good. Well, I'd like to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8 with me tonight. Romans chapter 8. As on Sunday nights, for quite a while now, we've been walking through the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. And the Baptist Faith and Message 2000 is a theological document, a doctrinal statement that we as Southern Baptist churches rally around. And you might ask yourself, well, why do we need I thought we believe the Bible here. Why do we need a theological document to rally around when we have the Scriptures? That is a great question to ask, and the answer is yes. We do rally around the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone, and we believe that the Baptist Faith and Message is clearly doctrines brought from the Scriptures. But it's important to have, because there are a lot of people in the world that say that they are teaching the Bible and that they believe the Bible. But when they say that, once you get to know them and what they truly believe, they actually mean something completely different than what we mean when we say we believe the Bible. I think about New Testament or Old Testament professors, it's always very incredible to me to think about New Testament and Old Testament professors who are not believers in Christ. They give their whole lives to the study of the Scriptures, yet do not believe in Christ. And so it's important for us to unify around the Scriptures and our understanding of the Scriptures as it comes to Christ. This morning I talked about unifying things in the church. And tonight, this area that we're going to look at tonight is usually called eternal security or perseverance of the saints. And this is one of those doctrines that I personally would hold with an open hand. We had a great theological discussion as a college group today, and I was explaining to them how we hold these, we hold some doctrines with closed hands. The fact that that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, the fact that he lived a perfect sinless life, that he died on the cross for our sin, that he rose again, that he's coming back again. Those are doctrines that we all hold to and would say, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're going to agree on these. Yet there's also other doctrines like, when exactly is Jesus going to come back and how is that all going to work? Or even things like different understandings of the Lord's Supper and baptism, or things like the eternal security of a believer that people differ on. Given that you read some scriptures and it seems so clear, but then you read this other scripture over here and it's like, oh, it's not as clear as I thought, right? And so don't be scared by this. Throughout church history, these issues have been debated by wonderful, faithful followers of Jesus. And so there's nothing to be scared about when it comes to these secondary theological issues. And it doesn't mean that they're unimportant. But to get into our conversation tonight, our message tonight about eternal security and perseverance, you know, when I was growing up, I had this idea that every time I sinned or thought I did something wrong, I needed to pray the sinner's prayer, right? I needed to ask God for salvation, because my thought was, okay, if I sinned, that means I'm not saved anymore, so now I need to go through the whole process again to get saved. And, you know, there's all kinds of logical questions that are kind of that come into your mind that don't come into a kid's mind, like, well, what happens if I lie and then I die real quick? Well, I guess I lost out, right? That sort of thing. And so I'm one of those kids that probably prayed the sinner's prayer to ask Jesus to save me thousands of times, right? Every time I thought I doubted something or I had done something wrong or had a bad thought, there I was praying that sinner's prayer, Jesus, please save me, come into my heart and my life, right? And but as I've grown as a believer, I still believe in confession of sin to the Lord and to others, absolutely. But I do not believe that my very salvation is lost every time I trip up, right? And that kind of gets to this idea of the eternal security of the believer. I just have to ask, anyone else do that as a kid or maybe even as an adult at some point? Yeah, you just prayed the sinner's prayer every time. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've all been there, I think, a lot of us. And so, yeah, a lot of us grew up in that. So I want us to think through that tonight. This is Article 5B, as my wife wisely has encouraged me to break up these articles because it's way too much content for just one message. And so Article 5B of God's Purpose of Grace, let me read it to you. I'm going to be honest, this has been an extremely exciting but full week of ministry, and I did not get to getting information to the people to get slides for this one this week. So if you have Romans 8:38, but I am going to just have to read to you a few things tonight. So I apologize for not having the slides for you. Okay, let me just read the article and we'll get into it. All true believers endure to the end. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by His Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere to the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, and bring reproach on the cause of Christ, and temporal judgments on themselves, yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So there's the article right there. So, thank you. Wow, y'all are awesome. You got it. But this is the first time we'll see in the Baptist Faith and Message that Baptists are taking a stand on a theological issue that's kind of debated in regards to very conservative Bible-believing Christians. And so very interesting there that they take a stand on that in regards to the eternal security of the believer. Just breaking this down to really practical terms, the idea is that if you have had a genuine conversion to Jesus Christ, the teaching and the understanding is that you will persevere till the end. You will have saving faith from that point into the end. And we're going to get into some scriptures and see that and think through this together. And so Romans 8, 38 and 39 is a big one. And thinking about this idea, remember we talked about last week how God is the one that initiated our salvation. He calls us to trust and believe, but He's the one that initiated it. And the argument goes, if God's the one who initiated our salvation, then by His grace, then He will also keep us by His grace into salvation till we see Him face to face. And so Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There Paul is speaking to and teaching the church. He's speaking to believers, and he says, listen, as one who is in Christ, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of your God that was shown to us in salvation. Then John 10:29, Jesus says this statement, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We can find great comfort and confidence in the promise that God's saving purpose is unchangeable. Think about it this way, if God's character is constant and His power is unlimited, which it is, Jesus promises us that by that power, God will never allow us to be snatched from His hand. As Paul encouraged the Romans, we're to find assurance in the fact that nothing can separate believers from the love of God. This is incredibly good news. God's purposes cannot be stopped, and no power can snatch believers out of the Lord's hand. The great God of the universe, who holds the mighty oceans in the palm of His hand, also holds believers in Christ securely in His hand. Because God holds all followers of Jesus firmly in His hand, all true believers endure to the end because their salvation is secure in Christ. God promises that his saving purpose that he began will be brought to perfect completion. Philippians 1:6 says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The assurance that true believers will endure to the end is by God's grace, just like salvation is by God's grace. We're saved by grace, we're transformed by grace, and we will also be kept by grace and glorified in God's presence one day by his grace. Romans tells us that nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God. God keeps, another way to say this is that God keeps his own and he loses none. Now, there's a lot of little kitschy kind of phrases that the church has used over the years in regards to this doctrine of eternal security. And honestly, I don't think they've always been extremely helpful. One of the ideas is this idea of once saved, always saved. You've probably heard the idea of once saved, always saved. And while that is the truth of the doctrine, I think a lot of times applied, people have kind of used that doctrine to say, well, at this age, I walked the aisle, I made a decision for Christ, and I got baptized at my church. So once saved, always saved. Woohoo! I'm good to go, right? Who cares about what I choose or what I do in my life from here on out, right? Well, M.E. Dodd, which is was a great Southern Baptist pastor of the last generation, he wrote this. I thought it was very helpful. This doctrine of the safety of the child of God actually encourages the holiest of living among God's children. I love that, because a lot of people actually argue the opposite. Well, if you can't lose your salvation, then what's the motivation for holiness? But he says, no. It actually gives the greatest motivation for holiness, living among God's children, for it has behind it the holiest and mightiest of all motives that control the hearts of men and women, because it has behind it the motive of love. If I can be saved by the grace of God, and he's responsible for my salvation, and he's given me his word that he will save me, and all we are to do is to leave it to him, out of love and gratitude to him, I will give him the deepest and most consecrated service of my life for what he has done for me. And I found that to be true in my own life. Think about it. John says that perfect love casts out fear. You know, the ones who desire and are passionately in love with Jesus and follow Jesus and obey Jesus with their lives are not the ones who are most afraid of punishment. It's those who are most grateful and in love with God's grace towards them. That's what really and truly changes the heart. I've heard it said like, you think about a metal bar. Imagine I am holding this metal bar up here, and I tell you that I am going to bend this bar, okay? And I'm not that strong, certainly not a bodybuilder, but if I start bending this bar, right, as hard as I can, what's going to happen as soon as I let go? It's going to just bloop, fall back right back into its original position, right? That's kind of like the idea of the change that happens because we fear God's punishment. Oh, we might push ourselves to change and to do things differently and to start trying to obey God. But if you've ever been like that, if you've tried to live that way, you realize that as soon as you're not worried about it anymore, you get back into the real world and you're not thinking about spiritual things anymore, it's like that bar just pops back and you're that same person that you've always been. Yet now imagine I have that bar and I have a torch up here, and I take the heat and the fire of that torch and mold that metal into something else, in some other kind of shape. That shape will hold. And that's what the gospel and God's love does. God tells us that his love is like a consuming fire. And so God's love in our hearts, understanding that we are held by God's love and nothing can separate us from God's love, it's the experience of God's love and his gospel of giving us Jesus and giving us salvation that actually creates the change in the heart, creates holiness in the heart. Okay, one more picture of this. You think about a bush, and these are ones I've all given you before, so these are going to be review for a lot of you, but extremely helpful. Think about a bush. Imagine that I have a bush in front of my house, and Robin tells me, you know, that bush is really ugly. I'd really love a beautiful rose bush out there. Well, there's two things I can do at that point. The first thing I could do is I could go to the grocery store and I could buy a bunch of roses and I could take them home and I could staple the roses to this bush that's already there, right? And think about it, for a few days, that bush is going to look a whole lot prettier than it did. But what's going to happen in 3 or 4 days? All those roses are going to die and that bush is going to be back to the way it was. And that's like what it's like when maybe you hear a sermon about hell and damnation and you're worried, and so you start trying to change all these things of your life on your own, like you're trying to make outward changes. But what I should have done and what the gospel does is it uproots that ugly bush and it actually plants a rose bush in its place. And yes, it takes longer to grow, and it's a messier process, and we still have brokenness and all that sort of thing. But when that rose bush buds, she can get beautiful roses for years to come because there was a change from the inside out. It's actually a different rose bush, and that's what the gospel does. The gospel of God's love actually changes our hearts so that we don't just obey God, but we actually desire to obey Him because of His great love for us. That is the kind of thing that happens in our hearts when we believe that God has given us His only Son and that there's nothing that we could do to make Him love us more and nothing that we've done to make Him love us less. That God's love is perfect for us in Christ and that nothing can separate us from His love. One thing that I've experienced in Christian ministry and a lot of people have personally experienced is this confusion that can happen when maybe you've had someone in your life that at one time they seemed extremely passionate about the Lord, extremely passionate about Jesus, but now if you were to look at them today, you'd say, what happened? This idea of once saved, always saved, your eternal security, how is it that this person could follow Jesus so faithfully and so passionately for a while, and now they couldn't seem to care less, and maybe they've even walked away from the faith? And sometimes that would lead us to say, well, didn't they lose their salvation? But Jesus actually shows us something different in Matthew chapter 13 when he tells the parable of the soils. He tells this parable, this story of four different soils, and the soils is really a warning against false belief or false believers. Jesus spoke of the human heart in terms of four soils, warning that there's this shallow soil that at first receives the Word of God and can get really excited about it. And even fruit springs up at first. But it's so shallow that when the pains of life and when hard things come, they fall away. That's what Jesus says in the parable. John answered, and then he answers that question after he tells that story, the disciples come to him and ask him, explain to us this. Because you had this one seed that was in the shallow and it got taken away real fast. Well, that makes sense. Someone heard the gospel and didn't receive it. I get that one. But the shallow ground, I mean, it was received. There was something growing and then it died. And then there's this other one that it grows at first, but then it says the pains and the troubles of this life choke it out. And then there's the one seed that grows, and it grows on really healthy soil, and it produces a lot of fruit. And what Jesus was saying is the same thing that John tells us in 1 John, that there are some, especially around gospel movements, at times where people are excited about Jesus and people are coming to Jesus, there are some who will come amongst the church and come amongst those kind of movements and even get excited about what's being done and be excited about what Jesus is doing and even show signs of fruit. But all in all, Jesus says they didn't truly repent and believe for themselves. They had this trouble in 1 John when John wrote, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. So he's talking about those ones that didn't truly believe, didn't truly receive the gospel. Now, we have to be careful there and remember that God is the only true one that knows our hearts. I had a friend in Maryland who struggled with addiction, and I believe from his heart that he believed and trusted Christ. But the addiction finally caught up with him these past few months, and he passed away, and I believe he was ushered into the presence of God. No, he didn't experience the victory over his addiction on this side of heaven, but he fought it. He desired something different, and he desired Christ in a relationship with him. And so it's important for us not to judge people's salvation, but to love them. And then we get to this idea of perseverance, which perseverance and eternal security are speaking about a little bit different things. Eternal security is saying, well, once you believe in Christ, he will keep you to the end. Perseverance is this idea that you will persevere in your following Jesus throughout your life. The perseverance of believers is the evidence of true and authentic faith, faith that saves. Thus, true believers will never fall away from the state of grace. Having been accepted by God in Christ, believers are being sanctified by the power of God. And this is a lifelong process that begins with our salvation and isn't fully accomplished until we're glorified in front of God. It's why things like 2 Peter says, make your calling and election sure. It's that idea that no, the fruit of our conversion, the fruit of good works, is not what saves us, but it's evidence that we are saved and found in Christ. And that is why some passages say things like, those who persevere to the end will be saved. Yet remember, your confidence in your salvation must never be in yourself or even in your own faithfulness. For our confidence is in God and in his promises towards us. Christians are, I like this quote, 1 Peter 1:5, Christians are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. John Dagg, another Southern Baptist pastor, wrote, the doctrine of final perseverance, properly understood, gives no encouragement to sluggishness or negligence in duty. Much less does it lead to licentiousness or doing whatever you want. He who takes occasion from it to sin against God or to be indolent in his service not only misunderstands and misapplies the doctrine, but has reason to fear that his heart is not right before God. Which really goes back to those two pictures that we gave, is that the gospel changes us from the inside out. When we experience God's love in our hearts, he allows us to see and desire his good design for us. He allows us to desire his heart, and we start pursuing it, and he starts recovering his heart in us. And yes, it's a lifelong process, and it's a slow process, a lot slower than we want it to be. So much of the time we want spiritual growth to be like a super highway, right? And just and some books don't help on this. It's like five steps to the spiritual enlightenment and all these sorts of things. When really spiritual growth is more like an everyday crawl. It is a crawl, but the beauty of it is it's guaranteed that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, and this is one of those doctrines that's helpful to think through, that closed hand and that open hand, because it seems so certain right now. But if you were to go home and read the book of Hebrews tonight, you would start having all these questions about what I just told you. Because in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says continually, don't fall away. He uses words like apostasy, right? Don't fall away from the faith, and don't walk away from Christ, and all these sorts of things, all these kind of warnings that make it sound like it's like, well, what does this mean? Like, I thought... And now pastor told me that once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. And then I'm reading this, and it's like, don't fall away. Don't lose your salvation. It's kind of what it's saying, right? And so I encourage you to think and to study. And this is why different believers have seen differently on these things. One thought I always have in reading Hebrews is, It kind of goes back to that idea of gospel movements. And in gospel movements or great awakenings, I mean, think about when Billy Graham used to have his crusades. Don't mean to be critical by any way, and I don't know anyone's heart, but I'm guessing out of the thousands and thousands of people that walked down to during those invitations, there was someone there who probably didn't experience a genuine conversion that night, right? But they got caught up in the movement. They got caught up in what everyone else was doing. And reading something like Hebrews kind of gives a different framework. But like I say, it's open hand. I would be interested. It's always interesting to hear other views. But in regards to the idea of eternal security and perseverance, one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scriptures, Romans chapter 8, remember, once again, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, none of these things can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together.